Well, well, well. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Camera Life Podcast. This is the Random Photography Show. It's the 4th of August, 2025, and you're currently watching or listening to episode 104. That's right, we're already up to 104. August is already well underway, and we're here for it.
We're almost up to as many episodes as we are subscribers.
Yeah.
We'll pass that number soon.
Yes. We could dedicate one episode to each subscriber.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, why not? Actually, we probably already have through interviewing them, but yeah, anyway. How is everybody? Jim, good to have you back on board. Justin?
I'm well.
Good evening. Cool. You all good?
I'm great. It's been a busy week of podcasting, actually. We've been podcasting like demons.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Yeah, we've been very busy. And for those of you watching or listening along, you're wondering if you've missed out on all these extra episodes, you haven't. But we'll get to that in a little bit more detail later on in the show. And just a reminder that if you're new to the channel, new to seeing us, watching this video, please give it a like. It helps out with the algorithms. And, you know, if you want to stick around, hit the subscribe button, tickle the bell, so that way you get every notification of every upcoming video that we put out. And just a reminder, we do two shows a week, Monday night, 7:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, Thursday morning, 9 a.m. No, not 7:30 a.m. Did I say a.m. or p.m.?
I wasn't listening.
Yeah. I don't know.
7:30 p.m. Monday, 9 a.m. Thursday Australian time. Look it up.
The chat will sort us out.
Yeah, whatever.
I thought it was funny, Justin, at the start you did your little Zoom thing, but I can't do that because I've got prime lenses.
Oh, well, that's boring for you. That's why your head is a little bit large. What focal length are you on tonight? Your head is too big compared to my head.
It's the same as every other episode, 28 mil.
I don't like it. It's too big. Your head's too big.
Wow.
Well, I could sit back like Greg. I'll do this. There you go.
Oh, not with that chair. Listen to it squeaking.
Yeah, listen to the squeak. Guys, by the way, we are running a fundraiser for a can of sewing machine oil to oil up Jim's chair. It's
needs a service.
If anyone's experienced with office chair servicing,
let us
know. Hit us up in the chat, please.
Yep. Speaking of the chat, Justin, do you want to say good evening to some people?
I do, because Tony was first. Get off my digital lawn. Woo, first baby. Lisa Leach is here. Good evening. David Leparati is here. Good evening. Good to see you. Neil, evening. Philip Johnson, greetings. Hey, Tim Siamis is here. Paul is here, as always. Looking forward to another great show. Philip says evening chaps as well, so we'll get him twice. Oh, mm-hmm. Jim's Photography is here. Happy Monday, everyone.
Oh, wow.
Hey, it's always good to see. We might...
I'm in the chat as well. I'm everywhere.
You're in the chat. Well, it's obviously not you, but it's someone. Nick Fletcher is here, notorious burner account holder. Hola. Ian Thompson, good to see you. Glenn Lavender, a sucker for clickbait. Yeah, I did a clickbait title. You know, YouTube is all about clickbait, whereas here at the Camera Life, we are not. But I did today make a funny clickbait title, which was Justin's last show. But it's my last show before I go to New Zealand for a few weeks.
Yeah. So this is my last show too, until tomorrow.
Yeah. So, but look, if that's the worst clickbait we play with, we're doing okay. Yeah. At least we don't,
we don't
pretend
to those methods.
No, we don't pretend that the Sony RX1 Mark III was a good camera or something. John Pickett's here. The RX1 Mark III is a good camera, I think. Apparently it's selling okay.
Yeah, it's a good camera when it came out 10 years ago.
Oh, Sony.
Nah,
Sony's all right.
It's a 10-year-old lens. Come
Sony's
on.
Sony's all right. Yeah, I don't
There's
like it.
No excuse.
But all their other cameras are pretty good. So
yeah, they're great.
But they're great.
They didn't ask me. I would have told them straight. You can't flog a 10-year-old lens and charge $1,500 more than you did in the last one. How does that work?
All right, don't worry, guys. We're not talking about it again on this episode.
All right, sorry, everyone.
Anthony Stonehouse, good evening. Hope you're all warm. I've actually got my ancient space heater that cost $15 down on the floor, just cranking out. Hopefully the power's...
probably cost $15 an hour too to run it.
I am warm because we just got a new split system installed in the house.
Oh,
and we got
fancy.
An overpowered one. Oh, it's so nice. So nice.
Hang on, so you don't use one of these?
Oh, that's like my nana's. Your grandparents left that in the house when you took it from them, didn't you?
There was a really cool gas one, you know, like it was a gas wall one that heated up the warm bricky things, not like a fake fire, like a gas radiant heater or something, but it got dangerous, so we stopped using it.
My nan had one that had like a plastic log set at the bottom, so it looked like a fire, like it looked like a miniature fireplace, and it had a globe that kind of lit up to make the logs look like they were burning.
Was it actually warm though, or was it just
automated? Yeah, and then it had a radiator bit in the top.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was just funny the lengths designers went to make it feel like an open fire.
Mm.
Anyway, I don't know how we got onto that.
Anyway, back to the chat. Jim's Photography says Castles will do anything, including quit, to not have to buy Greg a second light. Greg's got a second light. He just hasn't turned it on.
I haven't turned it on.
He's got a second and third light.
But he bought them himself. Let's be clear. I did not buy a second light. Oh, he's got the green. Yeah. See? Thanks, Jim's Photography, for that comment. Paul, you're in New Zealand. After a week driving around New Zealand, South Island, this Monday is hitting hard. So you're back now. You're done. How was your trip? Tell us about it. I'll be over there next week.
Did you need a 100 to 500, Paul?
Yeah, because I'm not taking one.
Yeah, good question.
But I've got Grant's 100. I've got his 70 to 200. We'll talk about it briefly.
2.8 or F4?
F4. Stay in light. Stay in light. Les Oki says, hello all. Hello, Les. Hey, Ernesto Les. Creativo, as always, it's nearly lunchtime in Augsburg. Is that how you pronounce it? Augsburg. And my favorite podcast is running. Yeah, what's it called? I'll give it a listen.
Let's Google Maps Augsburg. Let's see where Ernesto is from.
Great to have you here. Thank you for calling us your favorite podcast. We love it.
Augsburg.
Oh, no. The video no good? Les Oki says the video is like watching a crappy lip sync. Are we out of time?
Yeah, you are. I don't know if I am too.
Is it all of us or just me? Les, tell me.
No, it's you. It wouldn't be us.
Definitely be you. All that.
God, so I'm so far.
Augsburg.
Yeah, you Google that. I'll keep you because Roy says, you know what they say, big head, big camera. Jim, I mean, Jim probably does have the largest camera, so yep. Wow. Greg Carrick is here. Nev Clark is here. The WA friendly time slot. Tim Siamis, no podcast sessions from the top of a mountain with Starlink. I can't take Starlink over to New Zealand, but I will try and join off my phone or something. We'll see. But I won't be able to talk a lot. I don't think the service will be great.
Nah, probably not. And the Wi-Fi won't be fantastic.
Okay, everyone's saying mostly me. I'm going to head out and come back in again. You guys hold the fort down. All right. I'll be back.
Okay. We'll try.
Yep.
While we're doing that, I want to show everyone where Ernesto is, because just out of curiosity. So this is a map of Germany. Here's Germany up here. And Ernesto, let me just zoom out a bit. So that's Europe. There's Germany. Ernesto is very lucky because they are halfway between Munich and... I think the Lego store is somewhere around here, like the Lego experience store is somewhere around here. So what a life. Living the dream.
I'm sure there's some other nice things around the area too. But...
Oh, yeah, but this one's important. Anyway.
All right, I'm back. Is it any better? Let's do this.
You got to talk this, a
no,
bit.
No, not oh, that. There we oh. go.
You got to talk as well.
Yeah, talk, yeah.
Slight delay. It's not bad.
Was it? I'm talking.
Yeah, I think you're right now.
It's weird. I don't know what's going on.
The internet was bad before the show, though.
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty much it. It's everyone, except apparently it's a fire hazard to have my heater. It's fine. What else? Mostly Justin, mostly me. Paul says, trip was awesome. Clockwise trip from Christchurch via East Coast, Central Goldfields, West Coast, and Glaciers, back via Lewis Pass. Yep, I used the 100-500, but you need time up your sleeve. For what?
Probably to walk back so far.
To get away from the subject.
Well, yeah.
I was watching, I don't know who it was. Someone put out a short video. They were shooting the Wanaka tree that we've talked about recently because we've had Brett Wood here. And someone posted a picture of it. The picture was gorgeous, but they also did a behind-the-scenes video of the tree, and it looks like, you know, the photographer's there on their own, and then they pan and there's like 120 people on the shore taking photos of the tree. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, I don't think I'll take a photo of that tree.
You have to.
Ernesto Creativo. Ernesto says Legoland is in Gunzburg.
Gunzburg. What a cool name.
That where did you think Legoland was?
I said Gunzburg. I'm sure I did.
Oh, did you? Okay. Tony needs help with the purchase. What do you need help with? That's what we're here for.
Yep. We love spending our money, Tony.
It'll be his racing sim.
So, yeah, probably. He wants to have a fake race car. I just told him to buy a Switch and do the Mario Kart thing like you, Greg.
Yeah.
But he wants to be like full, you know.
Oh, actually, in a couple of weeks, we've got Curtis Graham is joining us on the Thursday show, and he not only shoots cars, like, you know, photographs motorsport and all, but he also races his own car.
That's right.
And yeah, every time I speak to him, I've got to rush. I've got to go pick up this thing off Facebook Marketplace. I've got to get rims or an exhaust. But yeah, he's a photographer too. It's really cool.
That's cool.
Anyway,
a couple of weeks. Tony wants to know, should I get the full hydraulic pedal box? What's the price difference, Tony? If there's one thing that this podcast can do, it's spend money.
Don't go hydraulic. Go drive by wire.
No, you don't get the feel. Paul says, I visited the Wanaka trees just so I could take a wanky selfie. 3 p.m. and about 80 people there, including tour buses. What? It's really? I've been there before. There was no one there when I went there, but it was the middle of the day. Like, it's not when you would go there to take a photo. There was no one there.
How many years ago was that?
When did I go? Like 2018 or something?
Everything's been COVID in terms of tourism.
But it was still, like, it was still a thing back then, but it just, I think people would have been there maybe at sunrise and sunset, but when I was there, we were just like walking around the lake. But yeah. I can't believe it was 3 p.m. and there's 80 people there, including tour buses.
Can you swim there?
I don't think so. It's winter. It's like
that would be funny if someone did.
He's just
like a ruin. Yeah.
Yeah. We dare you, Justin. We dare you.
Maybe.
Case of beer in it for you.
You could take your little point of view camera.
Yep.
Neil says Wanaka is beautiful. Are you getting out on the mountain bike, Justin? I might do so. We're not taking our bikes though, because Yelena's got an injured wrist, so she can't ride at the moment. So if I do, it would be a quick bike hire, maybe, but we'll probably go back to do a mountain bike trip once Elena can shred again. No, I didn't go there when it was a sapling. Greg. What are we doing on this episode? I don't have much of a plan. We got news and rumors to get through and stuff. I've got some viewer comments, but it's been quiet.
And do like, we have a bunch of photos to get through still?
We do. So we'll do your images at the end of the show. So that's cool.
Is that still safe? Got those. Is that safe doing it at the end of the show?
It's going to be a quick show tonight. We're going to be done by 9. I got to be.
An hour and 15.
From now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So, chat, you can direct us anywhere you want. If there's something you want us to talk about, any news, let us know. Yeah. But we've got a few articles that Greg's been skulking around. But first, I'm going to bring up the only comments. I might read a few from the other week because we got a lot of really nice comments on our 100th episode and we didn't get time to read them out.
Yeah, that was cool.
There was a heap of comments in the chat that night too, so.
It was crazy.
Yeah. How many was there in that night?
490.
Wow. That's actually crazy.
Yeah.
It was a fun show.
It was a fun show.
3 days ago at Kelmahank 88.
Call me Hank.
Oh, you should read these out, Jim.
Yeah. I'll just read the names. That seems to be your struggle.
Anyway, Kelmahank 88 says, New Zealand is awesome. It's Canada minus the moose and bears. Looking forward to going back. Yeah, it's like mini Canada, but with no crazy animals that can kill you.
What animals does New Zealand have?
Sheep.
No. Yeah, nothing.
Goats.
No, like wild.
Nothing that can kill you, I don't think.
Mountain goats. What else?
They have snakes?
No.
Not the sort of thing you hear about, is it?
No. I don't think they have snakes or spiders, do they?
I don't know.
They probably ship them all to us.
Yeah. No, I feel like I was watching something the other day that said they don't have a lot of creepy crawlies.
Mm. Exy says, why is this Justin's last show? It was clickbait, Exy. It's my last show before I go to New Zealand for 3 weeks. So I got you. Sorry.
Which he'll also tune in at random points. So
yeah. Exy just bought a new camera today too.
What do you get?
Got a Leica.
Oh, stop
it. Old school. Nice. Yeah, an old one.
Fancy. Yeah. Film, although, I assume.
He then sent me a photo of the film back and it's covered in mold. So I don't know how good it is. Might need a bit of work there, Exy. But a little bit of spray and wipe, a bit of Windex. It'll come up a treat.
Greg Carrick's running his blues show. I'll finish my blues show at 9 p.m. before you guys finish this podcast, probably.
Yeah. That's more.
New Zealand has a feral hobbit problem.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
They made a few movies about that.
Yeah.
Documentary long, style. Though.
Not movies, documentaries. You're right, Greg.
Yeah, they're real.
I need to rewatch them. Paul says, I still have a Kodak Instamatic that my parents used to take baby photos of him 50 years ago. Those flash cubes are brilliant. In Scouts, we learned to use them as detonators for booby traps made of balloons filled with flour triggered by a 9-volt battery. You can't put those comments on our channel. YouTube will take us
down. I think we're terrorists.
Bomb instructions. that was on Jeff Weber's episode, which was Thursday. That was actually really fun. I enjoyed that chat. Jeff's a good dude. So if you're looking for a casual photography chat, go and check that out.
Yeah.
And then this one was from my Canon R5 Mark II unboxing in a hailstorm video from last year. And at Supreme Gaming 7 says, my dream but can't afford, crying face.
I
wrote back, don't let it hold you back. Get out there. Just use whatever you've got. And I got nothing. So last time I played you. Supreme Gaming 7. I was trying to be nice. I should have just written back,
Yeah. Well, now we've got a serious question in the chat. Can we jump to
that? That probably would have got a response.
Yeah, probably would have. I'm nice in the comments. It's fun sometimes because that's not a podcast. That was on a YouTube video. The comments on the YouTube videos are a little bit different to the podcast comments. They're not as friendly sometimes. Lisa Leach, can you recommend where I could sell a secondhand camera and lens? Okay.
Yeah, and then Grant's jumped in after that.
Yeah. So Camera House, Ted's Camera House. There is no Ted's Camera House.
Ted's.
It's just Ted's Cameras.
Store. Ted's
Camera
Store.
Yeah.
Ted's.
Don't get him confused. Anyway,
big yellow guy.
Ted's is known for its, what do you call it? Trade-in program. Like they'll actually buy equipment off you and you've got to check the prices and stuff first. Sometimes it's actually reasonable. You found it reasonable, didn't you, Jim?
Yeah, I got in at a really good time and I sold some debt 50s for more than they were going for online. Well, like there's all the same as I could get on Marketplace. And then they dropped a couple of months later, probably after they tried to sell mine.
Lisa, I've written a couple of articles about buying and selling secondhand camera gear. They're on ShotKit. So if you go to ShotKit.com and you search for secondhand or pre-owned, there's an article in there that's got a whole bunch of different ways in which you can buy and sell gear. My advice is avoid Facebook Marketplace. There's just too many nefarious players on there. Well, because 80% of people ghost you. I would probably be more inclined to join a photography community and one that allows you to post about your gear for sale, because often then you can connect with someone who's actually a photographer, you know, and you might be able to work something out there. But anyway, check out that article and see if that helps. I've found in the past camera stores, they're convenient, especially if you're doing a trade. Like, I'll give you this gear. I'm going to buy this new camera or this new lens. Can we put that trade credit towards it? Often you get a better deal that way than actually asking for cash out. Get like store credit. They're more inclined to kind of look after you if you're taking something away and paying a little extra cash as well. If you hit the shotkit.com, Lisa, shotkit.com. There's a couple of articles in there about buying and selling secondhand gear.
Yeah. I've had good luck selling on Marketplace and in the particular themed Facebook groups, like you'll find there's like a Canon buy, swap and sell and a Nikon buy, swap and sell. Sometimes they're even a bit better than just general marketplace if you're worried about too many people being weird. You've got to be aware of scammers. They're going to be, they're going to try and get your money.
They're everywhere, really.
So this is like my advice is you never ever hand over any gear without having the money first, ever in any way. Never fall for the old refund or follow a link or anything like that. If I would do, if possible, and this is what I did last time, was cash only or a transfer of some sort. But it all depends on the value too. It's like, you know, some of the stuff you sell, if it's like $500 or whatever, it's probably less of a target for scams and, and it's a bit more comfortable. You know, if you're selling something expensive, it does get riskier. And that's where like in-person meetup, a lot of people do it out the front of a police station if you're a bit worried about that kind of stuff. I don't usually bother, but Bendigo might be a bit different to Melbourne. And I've done plenty of stuff through the post as well. But I, if people have always sort of said, if I was selling something, I try and be very aware but also very transparent with them so that they don't feel like I'm maybe trying to scam them. So if they're talking about posting it, I'm like, hey, I'm happy to send you a video of me showing you the gear and talking with your name in it. Hey, Jim, this is my Canon, blah, blah, blah. I'll just show you this. I'll show you that.
Yeah.
But I'll make sure that in the background, it's got a note that says for Jim to buy this lens so that that video can't somehow be then, because people will ask you for a video or photos or whatever, and then they use it to put a listing up. Their own listing, and show people that it's real, and then it perpetuates a scam to other people. So you just got to be really aware.
It sounds like something Tony would do.
Tony tried to sell Jim's everything, but he's not a scammer. But he did try to sell Jim's clothesline out from underneath him. Nick Fletcher says, I have lots of success on Gumtree. I only do cash. Yeah, only doing cash really takes a lot of the scamming stuff away because all of their targets will be like, oh, you know, I'll send my, I want to pay for it now via a link and I'll send my cousin to pick it up next week. I can't come or whatever. And it's like any of that stuff, scam, flat out scam. You want someone that says, hey, yep, I can meet you somewhere and we can do cash. I'll have a look at it. Then I'll hand you the money and we can both be like, cool, thanks.
Yeah.
But if it's a large amount of money, don't go on your own.
Yeah. Or
like if you're handing over $5,000 for something, don't just,
Well, maybe not. No.
Maybe not. But I mean, that's why I prefer to use PayPal because at least it's traceable. You can actually see that someone gave you the money or you gave them the money and they can't say, oh, yeah, but they said they'd give me cash and they didn't. But in actual fact, you handed over a fat wad of cash. So you just got to, you got to pick the audience and just make sure you have some backup for you and some, yeah, just try to be a bit savvy about it, I guess. Anyway.
Yeah. Rick Nelson says Facebook groups. Nev says, if I know the seller, get their license sent. Lastly, play over the count over the counter at the bank. I have great deals on GFX lenses on Marketplace. Oh, you're trying to sell GFX lenses, Nev? Is that what that says? I have great deals on GFX lenses on Marketplace. Nick Fletcher says, sorry, not Gumtree Marketplace. I was going to say, I don't know if anyone uses Gumtree anymore, but then
you were, there's not a lot on there these days.
Good morning, LTK. Anthony Stonehouse says, I've successfully sold 5 camera bodies and 10 lenses on Facebook so far this year. No issues so far, touch wood. Okay, you.
How many have you got left?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's going on?
It's starting to sound like a business.
I like it.
Yeah.
Elena says Jim's new fence looks nice.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, hang on. Nev Clark bought a Sony RX100, never got it. 6 months later, camera shows up with a note. Sorry, I went to prison for 6 months. True story. I can't believe they still sent it.
Yeah.
That's amazing. What a good prison person.
Yeah, what a good criminal.
What a good criminal. That's a good, solid citizen. Yeah, okay. Very cool. Greg Carrick says Sony and a criminal makes sense. okay.
Zachary Carr. I reckon I've bought camera gear off him, maybe.
Oh, I don't know.
I reckon I've... Maybe. I reckon
Sydney? Maybe. Oh, no. Melbourne. Where are you from, Zachary?
I reckon I've bought Nikon gear off him.
Oh, that'd be controversial.
Maybe. No, yeah. And like it was good. It was everything he said it was going to be.
Oh, ooh, he says yeah. Possibly.
I feel like he buys and sells a lot of gear if I remember his name.
Interesting. He says, bring a hairy German guy named Aaron along when picking up bargain X1Ds. Worst comes to worst, you can leave him as payment found on Gumtree. And Tony's still trying to sell a fiance.
Who's?
Zachary says, as it was ages ago, from Sydney. Yeah. Up in Sydney. I reckon, gear whore here.
I can't remember what it was. I think it was like a D750 or something. Mm. But it had like low shutter count or something like that. I don't remember. It was something.
Okay. Onwards.
Onwards. Let's jump into some news.
Oh, I didn't even bring up my viewer comments.
No. we run a good show here.
Time for the news.
Tight ship.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, news and rumour time. Yeah, Justin?
Yeah, you tell me which one you want, I'll bring it
up. All right, let's start with the big one, which is the DJI Osmo 360.
Oh, I don't have that one up. I'm funny. Not on photo rumors, but I guess nowhere's. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pay the money for the petapixel
paywall thing.
It's like $30 a year or whatever, and you know they provide some news. I feel like, and then we won't have ads.
A thousand ads.
All right, hang on. I'm coming in hot. Yeah, DJI Osmo 360. What do you think?
Yeah, cool.
So it's 8K 30 360 action camera with a 1-inch sensor. Comes with a selfie stick. You can capture up to 4K 120. You can get 120 megapixel 360 degree stills. 100 minutes of runtime at 8K, which is huge. That's a huge amount of data.
100 minutes of 8K. Oh, recording time. Yeah, you'd need a decent card for that.
You would.
Especially because I think it can do 8K 50. I don't know if that 100 minutes would be, that battery would last for that, but.
Yeah, surely not.
Basically, it's a head-on competitor to the Insta360 X5. So they haven't had much of a competitor. There's other brands that have played with it. GoPro hasn't made a 360 camera for. Well, I mean, they still make them. They haven't released one for quite a while, which in the action camera world, when they usually release every year an update of some sort to most of these lines. I think the GoPro Max hasn't been updated for, I don't even know. I'm going to find out. Let's find out. Mm. GoPro Max release.
Yeah, I think I saw some rumblings in the industry around GoPro's going to respond to DJI's new thing with something new and, you know, market share, blah, blah, blah.
They're all doing something we got something exciting coming.
But these are slick machines. Like they're, you know, if you're looking for something for a holiday or you're into actions or you ski or you know, whatever. So many creative possibilities with something like this.
Are you taking your 360 with you, Justin?
I am. I got a new handle for it, which I really like.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I
can. Was in like a selfie type handle?
A new selfie stick, yes. Mm-hmm. I did. I got it. I'm pretty excited about it. I should go and get it. But it folds because the old one didn't fold. And when you have a selfie stick attached to an Insta360 camera, it's quite long. It's like a long stick.
Yeah.
So you can't put it in your pocket or anything. And
Insta360. Unless you got a long pocket.
That's right. You're quite a long pocket. Anyway, so yeah, I'm going to take that. Now, I almost ran out and bought this camera when it was released on Friday because it does have a nice big sensor in it, so it should be pretty decent in low light.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost talked myself into buying it because I'm going to New Zealand for a trip of a lifetime, basically. And
why aren't you? Because
I've got an Insta 360 X3. It works fine.
You can do a comparison.
This would have a bit better image quality. Tons of people will do a comparison. I was going to do an unboxing video if I bought it. I thought this could be handy because it just came out. Mm-hmm. But now I'll do a little unboxing. But I looked at it and I don't know how much use it'll get for me still. I really struggle with the 360 workflow, the post-production workflow. It's slow for me. Mm-hmm. It's an extra step in the process that you've got to do. I thought it might be fun for POV videos or something like that, because it does. The great thing about this is it does connect straight to my wireless DJI mics, so I can it just auto connects the same way the Insta the DJI Pocket 3 does that I use now.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, I don't think it's a big leap forward in image quality compared to the X5 from Insta360. And I thought, you know what? I've spent enough money lately. The X3 will be fine. I'll get the clips that I need to get. That's not the main purpose of why I'm going over there. So that was that. But I was very close. That JB Hi-Fi Video had them in stock.
Oof.
They've got good specs in terms of they've got 10-bit D-Log color profiles. As I said, mics work straight with it. Yeah. Image stabilization, everything is apparently quite on par with the Insta360 X5. And other than that, it is what it is. It's a top of the range 360 camera.
Yeah.
Cool.
Nice.
Nice.
What else is happening? Sigma I don't know if they've officially announced it. No, it's a rumor. According to reports, Sigma 12mm 1.4 for APS-C, so it's for Fuji and Sony, and I think also, I can't remember what else.
Look at the chairs and the traveling chairs. Look at this website.
I hate the way they draw on the lenses. And they draw on it. It's mine.
And we're here looking at it, but I just can't, every time, I can't do it. Anyway, so it's a 12mm f1.4.
It's a wide but fast prime lens for Fuji and Sony.
So how wide is that?
An 18 or 19?
Yeah, it's an 18.
18?
Yeah. Isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, it's 1.5.
1.5. Okay, yeah. That's enough.
You're nice
and
lens.
It's a 1.4. Like, yeah. It should be pretty good. But I also then later found out that there's actually 3 primes dropping on the 19th of this month. That is one of them, the 12mm. And the other ones are a 200mm f2 sports lens for Sony and Leica, a 35mm f1.2 art lens for Sony and Leica, and then this 12mm 1.4. So Sigma has been dropping so many lenses lately. Like, they did all of the re-releases for the BF camera. So they released that aluminium block Sigma BF camera in black, in matte black and matte silver. Mm-hmm. And they re-released, I think, 7 or 8 of their primes in those 2 new colorways. So you can get the glossy black, or you can get the new matte black, or you can get the matching silver for the BFs. That's massive.
If you got the tech there.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can try and get more money.
True, absolutely. But it is a logistical nightmare. Like, any extra product SKU that these companies have to deal with, they've got then distributors have to stock all that stuff, and then retailers have to try and stock some of it. They won't stock all of it, but someone will be like, "Oh, I want that one in this glossy black," and they'll be like, "Oh, we've got it in the other ones, but we don't," you know. So it is. I really like that they're doing it, because I think it's cool to give people extra options, but I appreciate that it would be quite difficult too. It's not just easy. Yeah.
But even with that aside, they've released a whole lot of lenses in the last sort of 6 months. They've really upped their stable of products. So good on them. That's great.
The 12mm 1.4 will be available for Canon, I've been told.
The Canon APS-C?
Yeah. Not the other full frame ones that they're releasing for Leica and Sony E-mount, but the APS-C one, from what I've been told, that 12mm 1.4 will be available for Canon RF.
And Nikon,
yeah, sorry. And like the, yeah, all of the mounts that they usually do for their crop lenses. Yeah. Yeah. So,
do you reckon lens companies are stockpiling like Canon mount lenses for when that technology is usable?
No.
No?
I don't know that they would have built them. I'm sure they've designed them.
Yeah,
they're probably. Oh, sorry, I don't mean. Yeah, sorry, not making them stockpiling, but as in
stockpiling. I was like, imagine like a warehouse full of RF Sigma RF lenses. They're like, any day now, we'll be ready to go.
Yeah, no, sorry, I mean the design and the like. Yeah, the thoughts around it.
Well, I the way they would. When you think about the popularity of the R mount, and that you know, it's clear from the market that a lot of people are begging for non-native R mount lenses. So
I wouldn't say begging.
Oh, yeah, I think they should.
Begging's a strong word.
Anyway, you know, people want to see third-party lenses.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't always have to be first-party. You know, lots of people enjoy buying different lenses for different reasons. So having more choice for consumers is amazing. And I reckon the lens companies would be stupid not to have them ready to go. At least the prototypes, you know. Because as soon as that market opens, everyone's going to jump in that to try and get a piece of the pie, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's the kind of it's the last kind of mount.
Frontier.
Yeah, the last frontier.
Last mountain.
Mount.
Climb.
And
mountain. This just reminded me of this comment that I missed of Grant's before that says, I sold my Nikon gear and that was the best day of my life. Such a relief to be back on Canon.
And you sure, Grant, wasn't, I don't know, maybe one of the days your kids were born or one of those other awesome days in your life, maybe? Yeah.
Nah. It was the day I sold my Nikon. Oh, dear. What else we got happening? Let's talk about Sony.
Zachary says... if you're after a talented Lumix shooters to bring on, Rob, I've never know how to pronounce Rob's last name, Mulally? We'll find out when we get him on. Or Simon Kither would be great. I shoot Lumix for work and play, but the talent part is questionable. Yeah, well.
Who are they? Rob Mulally?
Mulally? I don't know how to pronounce Mulally? It. I've read it a ton of times. Yeah,
who is the second one? Mulally? Simon Kither.
Kither.
Is he a kisser with a lisp? That's inappropriate, isn't it?
Kith. Give you a kith. We'll definitely try and get them on. Maybe you can help us. Put in a good word.
Let's talk about Sony sensors, because let's face it, they make pretty much all of them.
Hang on, Sony sensors? Dang it, that's not it. There we go. Oh, okay.
You got it?
I'm getting there. Nope, I just...
Yeah, extra.
Fill the gaps. Fill the time. I'm having trouble. Talk to the chat.
Okay, so let me just read it out. So Sony, in their recent financials, there was a section in there about a new tri-layer sensor that they're working on. Interestingly, they're predominantly making this for automobile technology. So for, you know, like self-drive cars and cars that have, you know, safety features with the use of cameras. And you know how like you jump in you jump in a Tesla and sometimes you can see on the big screen that it shows you. I only Uber.
You said it. You were like, you guys don't have Teslas, but when I get in.
You guys aren't.
I get in my.
Anyway.
One of my Teslas.
They're working on this to improve... to improve speed and data readouts. It's primarily for automobile and industrial applications, but with anything, that then trickles down into, you know, photography sectors. So it's an interesting turn of events that, you know, sensor technology is continuing to expand into new ways. But there is a section in this article about interchangeable lens cameras is still a key focus.
Anyway. Look at this. Bright in low light conditions without noise degradation. This photo is for illustration purposes only. No blowout in bright scenes.
Interesting.
Cool.
HDR in real life.
Yeah.
Justin, there was a comment earlier that we probably do need to pick out. It was from Yelena.
Oh, I missed it. Yelena, I picked out my first camera strap today. Would Greg and Jim like to guess what I got and which camera Justin has chosen for me to try to use in New Zealand?
Wow.
Yeah, well.
Give
it a guess. And let me pull this down for now.
I reckon that he's giving you the Leica, the Q3.
What other cameras do you have? That's probably the question.
Well, she's not going to shoot with the R3, is she?
That was the other option. She liked the grip of the R3.
No, yeah. It's not the R3. Surely not.
It's the film camera. What else? The 50mm. The film camera with the 50mm on it.
Nah, what, I don't want to start her off with that. So yeah, these were kind of the options. Do you want this or do you want this? And so we decided on a hybrid approach. No R3. Bringing the R3 just felt like overkill. But she'll do some with the Leica, which is what that camera strap that she's picked out was for. And some with my R5 Mark II, and we can just switch back and forth.
Mm-hmm. So, and which camera strap did she pick?
That's right. She wanted you to guess, but you didn't.
So you said R5 Mark II and
Q3.
And the Q3. Okay.
It won't be this camera strap. This is a
prototype. A Slim 30.
She did. Wonder what color it was. I actually still don't know.
I don't know. Don't know what Yelena's.
What color did you choose, Yelena?
Don't leave us hanging.
I did like the grip on the R3 much more than the Leica.
Yeah.
So maybe I need to buy a grip for the Leica for whatever they cost, $500.
$4 million.
Yeah.
Anthony Stone, how are you?
Maybe the podcast chat is a new place to buy and sell camera gear. Hey, look, I think that would be great. But
yeah, it would work for us. I've got some lenses to sell.
Yeah, none of you guys scam each other, though. There'll be none of that. Yeah. Otherwise, you'll be in trouble.
Yeah. We'll be on to you. Let's jump to the next news segment. So the Canon one, Justin.
All right.
So Canon has just celebrated the 20th anniversary of the EOS 5 interchangeable lens camera series. So that includes...
More ads.
It's fucking out of control. Look at it. I can't even get to the website. There's pop-ups everywhere and shit. I'm trying to close all the pop-ups.
Do you want notifications? What do you want notifications for?
It's terrible.
I turned it off. Sorry.
Years of five.
Sorry, Greg.
Don't be sorry. In the last 20 years, they've released 8 different models of the EOS 5 series. So we're talking, obviously, DSLR. As well as our new mirrorless ones, which Justin has the latest iteration of that, the 5D Mark II.
So 5 Classic. So it was the 5D Classic, the 5Ds. They call it, but the 5D Mark II, the 5D Mark III, the 5D Mark IV, the R5, hang on, I lost count, the R5 and the R5 Mark II.
We've got to do it in chronological order, or there's no prize.
No, that was all of them. And that wasn't chronological.
There's the EOS 5D. That was the first one, September 2025. Yeah. 5D Mark II, 5D Mark III. Then it jumped to the 5DS.
Oh, I missed the S.
And then the 5DSR. Then the 5D Mark IV. And then we finally launched into the R5 in July of 2020. And then again at the end of last year, the 5 Mark II.
Hang on. What about the R5C?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Well, they haven't listed that here.
I get a prize. There's actually another one.
That's weird.
That is weird, isn't it? Because I forgot about the S, but then they've forgotten about the C.
There's just so many.
There is a lot. Actually, there's a lot more than I thought. Yeah, okay. Yeah, they have. R5C. Surely that would count as a model, wouldn't it?
Well,
cinema model?
I think so.
Yeah, it counts as a model.
Although, is it part of the... Part of that, or is it part of the Cine range?
No, it's an. It doesn't matter. It's an R5C. This isn't whether it's Cine or not. This is 5 series R5. Yeah.
All right. I'll write a letter of complaint.
Oh, thank you. Who put this article out?
Leave it with me,
Craig from Canon Rumors. You forgot the R5s. Actually, let's see if any of the comments on Canon Rumors are like. No one's commented.
Okay. You can comment.
I could comment.
Log in, tell your life.
Well, that's cool. Canon's cool.
It's all right. Let's jump to the Sony RX1 R Mark III.
Yes, I like the way they've titled this.
So Sony claims that the RX1 R3 is in high demand.
Look at the graphic they've put behind
the
article. Because this is on Canon
rumors. And then scroll down to the video. Talk about clickbait. Go down a little bit further. Look at this guy.
Yeah.
Yep. So according to the article, there's a little bit of, speculation that this isn't the case. But basically, Sony is now claiming the RX1R Mark III that costs $43,000 Australian is in high demand and that there is already a supply shortage. This claim comes as it sits in stock in a lot of stores, including Amazon. The stock levels haven't moved. I think this is more to do with demand not meeting expectations, and production levels are going to be an issue. I don't think Sony has any idea why they made a camera that uses old parts, costs $5,000, with another recycled sensor, along with using a 10-year-old lens. My point exactly.
Maybe they just copied your article.
Maybe, yeah, that's true.
John Pickett says, "Easy to have a supply shortage when they've only built 20."
Well, that's the thing. So Sony's quote is, we began accepting orders for the camera with integrated lens and accessories, blah, 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 on the 23rd of July. We have received many more orders than we expected, so it may take some time for your product to be delivered. I don't think that's the case. I doubt that they've even started making them.
Oh, Greg.
Well, they got
controversial.
Remember when they released it, we questioned this when they released it, because none of the usual influencers and reviewers had copies of it. They just shadow dropped it overnight. No one got to test it. Everyone was shocked. And I wonder if they did that to avoid people saying, hang on, this is a $5,000 10-year-old camera that's just been given a fresh coat of paint. Little else.
Mm. Oh, no, they did remove the flippy screen.
That's a subtraction. That's not an improvement.
Sony are never going to come on this podcast, are they?
No, they won't. But it's just an interesting statement. You can read into it in different ways. But it will be interesting to see what the sales figures that come out of Japan every quarter. SIPA, is it? They do SIPA.
Yeah.
To actually see how well this is selling. However, I do know that Sony is doing really well in Chinese markets at the moment. So I would imagine that this might be a popular camera over there.
Maybe.
We'll never know.
In other news?
Another black and white film has been launched. We've got a London Film Lab, the last article on the list.
Dun, 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 dun.
So for those of you that still shoot a little bit of film, or only film, we've talked recently in the Random Photography Show, we've talked about Leica dropped a new one. There was a couple of other brands that dropped new film. This one's called London Film Lab. And it's called Houston 400 Black and White Slide Film. So yet another new entry in the film market, which is great.
Interesting. It's a modified version of Rolly's black and white negative stock. Okay. Repurposed into a slide film.
Interesting. That whole repurposing thing, I never fully grasped it. Does that mean that no one is making film anymore? We're just recycling older stuff?
No, I think Exy's tried to explain it a few times, and the great John Umina, who I've got a ton of footage from when I went down to Lumina Labs that I haven't had time to edit yet, but he was explaining how many of the different films are just re-rolled versions of film, maybe treated in a certain way or whatever, but they're not. There's only a few manufacturers that actually make film.
Yeah.
And then from there, everything just gets kind of dispersed out. It seemed it was like if, trying to think of a good example, it's like if only you could only buy Carlton Draft and VB. For those of you overseas, they're our beers. They're what we've got. You think it's Foster's, but it's not. It's Carlton Draft and VB.
No one in Australia drinks Foster's.
No one in Australia drinks Foster's. So it would be like if there's only Carlton Draft and VB, but then there's all these craft beers, but all the craft beer manufacturers are doing is buying Carlton Draft or VB, sprinkling some like citrus in it or something, and then putting a cool label on the repackaged can to make it look crafty. That seems to be kind of what they're doing. Someone, Exy, tell me if I'm wrong.
It's a good analogy.
Yeah, I think so. It may not be true, but it's cool. Grant says, I've been shooting on Ilford HP5 Plus lately. Keen to see the results. I was torn about whether to take film over to New Zealand. I think it would be so much fun to shoot film over there, but I'm just running out of, like, I don't want to take a million cameras.
It's another thing. Everything is another thing. Film. You got to think about it. Like, oh, we didn't finish today, and they're going to change a roll halfway through.
And then you've got to go through airport security with films that you don't want to get damaged.
But I was like, if you were going to do it anywhere, what a place to run around with.
But you are going to take, what, 3 or 4 cameras already?
2.
Oh, plus the...
So, Greg, how do you not let film not get damaged at an airport?
I don't know. I've never done it. I know that Melbourne Airport, actually, up at... I almost called it Tullamarine. That's showing my age. Up at Melbourne Airport, I'm pretty sure they recently introduced something that if you've got film, you can go through a special... Right. Like, you can go to a particular, you know, where they scan everything for you.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it's safe for film stock. But yeah, I've never done it, Jim. I don't know. So if anyone in the chat has ever traveled through airports with film, how do you do it? Let us know.
Exy says that I am right. Carlton Draft and VB are the only ones that make beer, and everything, all the craft beers are just repackaged with some extra citrus, just like film. Mm. So that's good. We've had someone on here that asked about the traveling thing with film before, and they just said, yeah, you got to avoid it going through the scanner the key. You just got to ask for it to be hand checked or whatever.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they still end up putting it through.
Yeah. Was it Joel? Maybe Joel told
Joel, us. Yeah. I think I've asked Joel and anyone else that comes on with film, I've asked because I've never done it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exy says ask them to hand check.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, this is a good question. What are your thoughts on specific camera gear insurance? Have any of you had any dramas? Well, before I'll get Jim to run over, because Jim's had dramas, but before I get him to run over that, I literally just redid my insurance today. So I can tell you exactly what I did. I went through, hang on. I'll pull it up. Has it got any of my information? No, I can pull that up. I guess it got like my personal address. Information on there or something. Just pull it up on the internet. This is the company that I used. If I can find it.
Did you use the same people that?
No, I couldn't be bothered. I couldn't be bothered. So it was this place. Hang on. That's not going to show you. Why won't it show you the name? It's AON. I don't know if it's a scam or not, but I did the whole thing online because I stayed under the thresholds they have for where you have to get like a personalized quote, and you go through this product, like this, you know, questionnaire thing. It's asking you about your gear, and it just starts adding the price up as you go through. It says it's covered worldwide for for theft and everything. Mm-hmm. I haven't looked into the policy a ton, so don't take my word for it, but I got it for public liability and international travel. It's for work and everything, so you can get it as a private person or for a business. It's fine.
So this site is specifically for camera gear?
Yeah. I think they do other stuff too, but this if you just type in AON photography insurance, it's this quote tool is specifically for photographers. They have other industries on there as well.
Yeah.
But you can go through this quote tool.
Because I just use my home contents insurance.
Mm.
And you listed specific items. I'm paying a little bit more for each specific item, but
that's where you have to be careful with your what your exact home and contents policy is, particularly when it comes to unsecured theft. So a lot of places, if you're at an airport and someone just takes your camera bag, that's not covered, you know, because it's unsecured. There's no proof that someone broke in. or whatever. Yeah. And it's very, there was a very gray area because I ended up
gray.
Originally with the policy, it's probably still the policy Jim's got. The question I asked them was, if I'm shooting a wedding and someone just picks up my bag and walks off with it, is it covered?
Yeah.
Or do they deem that as it wasn't theft because no one broke into your car? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's covered with who I'm with. If it's stolen from your car and your car is unlocked, it's not covered. But if your car is locked, it's covered. And then obviously damage and all that is covered.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And have I had any dramas? I've claimed two lenses on it a few years ago that were dropped.
Got one of them over here.
Yeah.
And it worked? Like you got... How did that unfold, Jim?
So some lenses were damaged. Rang them up or emailed them or whatever. Had to get a quote to say that the lenses couldn't be fixed.
A bit of glass missing.
And then they've obviously got... I was just expecting them to pay me out. And then they wouldn't do that because they've got a deal with the camera stores.
Okay.
So they said you can spend that retail on a new lens. I think it was with Michaels or something. And I said, they were going to just replace the lens. And I said, well, I don't want that same lens. That's the 135-1.8 Sigma. And I wanted to upgrade to the Nikon 105 1.4. So,
yep. And they were okay with that?
Yeah. I tried to get paid out because then I could have just bought it, but wherever I wanted, but they wouldn't do it. So
basically you just went into your camera store and it was all sort of organized by the insurance company for them just to give you a lens?
Yeah. I just went to my local camera house and they sort of said, yes, this is definitely unrepairable.
Yep.
Oh, so, as in for the, yeah. And then you had to get the lens from not from a camera house or something, didn't you?
I think it was from Michaels or something. It was whoever they had like an account with. They get deals and stuff. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think Neil Leach asked me a question. So does that cover you out in the field, Greg? So I'm talking about my home contents insurance. So I use RACV, we do for the house here for our contents. We're body corporate insured for the building itself, but I can add specific items. So I add my laptop, my camera gear, my partner and the kids who leave the house regularly with their laptops. They're all listed.
You list the partner and kids like you
because they leave the house. Yeah. They leave the house. So I've got to insure them,
The wife is this far.
Yeah. One of the kids is still in high school and they have we bought them a MacBook for high school. So we made sure that that's covered under the insurance. And it just costs, and yes, so in answer to your question, yes, it does cover us when we leave the house because we've listed very specifically even serial numbers in our policy. So although having said that, I should probably update mine. I don't think I've updated it for a little while with lenses.
What's interesting with mine is, so that was the other thing, this AON place. You get a 10% off if you're a Canon CPS member. Some deal they've got with CPS. But so far it hasn't asked me for any of my gear stuff. So I'm assuming that my Canon CPS like gear listing stuff will be fine for that. I haven't had to list anything.
So they just get it from Canon.
So you had to give it a value?
Not on any individual gear unless it's over 10,000 for the item.
Oh, no, sorry. I mean, it's like, have you said I've got X amount of camera gear? Like it's worth this much.
I didn't do my full amount because I was like, I'm not paying a ton for insurance.
You're not going to lose everything. You're probably going to lose bits.
Yeah. So I was like, I've done the insurance thing before and I'm not going to go the full on crazy policy. So I just kept it. I think I just kept it at 20 grand or something of gear, of removable from the house camera gear and then the rest, and then a little bit for the office, which was a separate thing. They break that stuff out separately. It was, I mean, you can go through the whole quote tool and not do anything at the end of it. So if people want to play around and have a look at it, and I am not affiliated with this place and I don't sell insurance, so don't listen to what I say, read their stuff. But if you want to see what it would cost you, you can click through and fairly quickly see what it would cost you. I think for reference, mine was like under $1,200 with public liability and drone coverage. So.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Cool. Are you taking a drone with you?
No. I would love to do drone stuff in New Zealand. but I know they're fairly strict about drones in national parks, like very strict, so I wouldn't want to mess with any of that. Yeah. And they're a lot of the great areas of that. And I was like, I'm just going to keep it simple. I don't want to take too much crap over there.
You'll have too many options and just not do anything.
Look, I'll potentially regret it because I'm sure we'll go to some cool places and drone footage would look amazing. But I also don't like the stress of wondering, is someone going to come out and yell at me for flying a drone here or whatever? So I'm just going to take it off the table completely.
Yeah. So, but it's an extra layer of research you've got to do and understand and compliance and all that stuff, you know. So,
yeah, that's right. I just decided,
Well, hopefully this isn't your last trip to New Zealand. You can always go back.
It won't be. So I guess we were just talking about traveling with gear, so we don't really have to talk about that.
You've got 28 minutes to get this done.
Oh, has it been an hour already? Damn, we gotta okay, let's just hustle through to get to your images and what's in the box.
Okay.
Les says drones were almost non-existent in our 5 weeks in New Zealand in April. You mean as you didn't see any? Because I think that's because they're very limited in where you're allowed to fly them over there. So most of the great places you can't fly them anyway. I haven't done a lot of research, but that's what I'm led to believe.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
So talk about traveling with gear, or do you think we've covered that?
Look, I feel
let's talk about what you're taking. What list it off? What are you taking?
Okay, so taking the Leica Q3 Fearlaner. And because it's a beginner's camera, and the Canon R5 Mark II for me, and we'll switch back and forth. And I'm taking the 16-28 2.8, the 28-70 2.8, Grant 70-200 f/4, because you can just borrow people's gear if you don't have it yourself. Because it's nice and light. My 2.8 is a bit heavier, and I won't need 2.8 over there. And I've got. That's all I can take in my hand luggage, but I've got the 20mm 1.4 on standby in that case that you sent stuff up in, Greg, that little hard case thing. And I'm like, what if there's an Aurora? That'd be cool.
That'd be cool.
So I'd be pretty pissed.
Just put it in your pocket.
I probably could.
Just load your body up with stuff and then unload it once you go through the wherever they're weighing now.
I probably could. Neil Leach is asking carry on. Yeah, so most of my stuff will be in carry on. Elena will carry on the Leica. And I'm not too scared of putting camera gear. I've put it in checked gear because sometimes you're test taking so much, you have to check some of it. Kind of sucks. I usually put it in a hard case inside my soft luggage bag. Grant's using my 7200 2.8 as a doorstop at the moment. Well, that's good.
Yeah, whatever works.
I'm glad it's useful for you.
It's getting used. That's the main thing.
That's what I'm taking. I'm trying to keep it simple. I'm taking a GoPro and an Insta 360 as it is. That's mainly for when I snowboard. Taking the DJI Osmo Pocket 3 in case I do a few more POV photography videos. If I get excited, we'll see.
So it's four cameras?
Yeah, but they don't count as cameras. They're little video things.
Is that right?
Two cameras. Paul, did you take a drone? Do you do any droning?
Mm.
You take kids on a holiday to gain more carry-on allowance. Yeah, I like that. That's a good strategy.
It's a good strategy.
What's in the box? Oh, Paul didn't take a drone.
No.
Yeah, I'm not taking a drone. Hang on. I'll do
what about a tripod? You taking a tripod?
I never use tripods, but it's this Aurora thing. I'm like,
just take your little tripod foot thing.
I wondered that.
Manfrotto platy pod, like that one.
Your little platy pod thing would be fine.
Yeah, I've got a platy pod, which is like but the weight of that with the ball head, like we've got enough luggage allowance. It's actually not an issue to take a tripod. So I've got it sitting in Elena's suitcase currently. Because I've got to take a snowboard and stuff. She's got a big roller bag. She won't fill it up. She'll have like 10 kilos of luggage. So currently the tripod is in there. It's my smaller tripod. And I would like to do some night sky photography, especially since Elena wants to take some photos. I can set her up with the R5 and she could do some night sky stuff.
And you got the car so you can
mobile. Yeah, we can sit in the car, go out and do some night sky stuff.
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah, it's very convenient.
Yeah.
Paul says lots of no drone areas in New Zealand. Yeah, that's what I think.
Mm. And which is good, I think.
Please sponsor me a drone. I do have two currently, but one of them's teeny tiny. Just get a little mini. A little mini.
Mm.
Anthony Stonehouse. I did the South Island with three primes, 20 mil, 35 mil and 65 mil. That was a few years ago. Might take some fast zooms now. Yeah, that's – I would like to take my 50 and stuff, but I know I want to stay light and I want to be able to maybe just throw one lens on a camera and go for a hike or something. And, yeah, those fast, lightweight 2.8 Canon zooms have been really good.
And, you know, I guess you're not just going on this holiday to take photos. You're doing other stuff. No. And, you know, it'd be a good opportunity for you to review how your kit that you take works, what you learn from that, what you do with your kit that, you know, when you've got no choice, well, you make it work, don't you?
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, there's a lot to gain from that experience and a lot to learn from it that, you know, I don't need a lens for every occasion. This one will actually do fine. But you'll know for next time.
Paul says, I took my travel tripod in checked luggage. Thank goodness. Sunrise at 8 a.m., sunset around 5 p.m. and a good deal of golden hour light to play with. Lots of hills. You're in low light situations. Yeah, okay. So it's a good choice on the tripod.
Yeah. Sounds smart.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
Les Oki, one fast wide for astro shots. Yeah, I think I'll take the 20.
Good call. All right. Let's talk about what's in the box.
All right, what's in the box?
Whose box? Hang on.
That's rude, Jim. Let's start with yours.
With
Jim? Jim, what's in your box, Jim?
Okay, well, speaking of New Zealand, I've got this little box here. It's not, I can't actually show you much more than this. it sounds crazy. But Queensberry, who do all my albums and stuff like that, have recently changed paper stocks. And they reached out and they were like, hey, Jim, we've changed paper stocks from, I don't know. I'll have a look. Kodak to Fuji. And they said, we're transitioning. Do you want us to send some, like, just test layouts? And I was like, yeah, sweet. And they did. And it arrived, like, 3 days later. So
of your files, though?
Yeah. Just from a recent album that I've actually got with them at the moment. So I can't show you what's in it.
Show us what it looks like.
There's, like...
show us the texture of the paper. I'm kidding. The rustling's killing me. Don't do that. So it's their test prints, just to clarify for everyone, because I was kept asking Jim, because he kept saying, I've got something for what's in the box, but I can't show you what's in it. And I'm like, I don't think you understand what the segment is, Jim. It's what's in the box. Like, people want to see what's in it.
I showed you what's in the box.
Yeah, we can't see what's in the box.
Yeah.
But it's a boudoir shoot that you've done for a person.
Yeah, an album.
So it's a client's work that you can't show on a live YouTube channel, which is why. But that's
great,
cool.
It was a great. Do you want to rustle a little bit more?
No, please.
Yeah,
don't.
Go on. Yeah, go on.
But yeah, good service from them to send free. Yeah,
absolutely.
Prints.
Yeah.
Les says that's not a box; that's a tube, and I agree. What's in the tube? Greg, have you got a what's in the box?
I did get a box. I got a new flash. I got a Godox TT350F for Fujifilm. The reason why I got this, so here it is on my XE4. And Jim naturally asked me, why is that flash on your camera? It shouldn't be on your camera. And I agree. But this is a macro lens that I got last week we unboxed. And this is my new flash. And I'm just waiting for Cygnus Tech, who have shipped me one of their macro flash diffuser kits. Mm-hmm. And so that basically, it covers that and it attaches to the front of the lens. Mm-hmm. So you get a really nice, even distribution of light on your foreground subject right close to the lens. So yeah, I'm building my macro kit. That's kind of my new project, is to undertake some macro photography and see what I can do with it. So yeah, that's what was in my box, a new flash. Pretty happy with that. I have had on-camera and off-camera strobes before, and I sold them all because I wasn't really using them. But now that I've gotten into macro, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. What made you choose that particular model of flash?
I went for this one. The TT350 is quite small and light. The only downside I have with it is that it takes rechargeable batteries. But, you know, it's tiny. Like, that's just my regular iPhone there. And that's terrible at this.
So hang on.
It's quite small.
Spotlight you. There we go.
It's quite small. You know?
Like AA rechargeables.
AA rechargeables. So I also ordered off Amazon one of those little Energizer wall things. You can put four rechargeables, either AA or AAAs in.
They're not very good.
I know.
They're very slow.
The Energizer ones?
Yeah, we had one. I had one back in the day, and Justin had this 8 charger one. And he's used to charge in about a quarter of the time. Like mine would charge 4 batteries overnight, and his would charge 8 in about an hour.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the recharger was on all day.
It was a decent charger that I bought at the time. There's probably cheaper versions of it now, but it was, I think at the time that charger was like $150 that I bought.
Yeah. So I think I just bought one and it was like $100. Yeah. Get some Eneloop Pros though, Greg.
Yeah. That's next on the agenda.
Yeah. Eneloop Pro.
But yeah, I'm excited for that. So I've got my Cygnus Tech thing coming that's shipped. So it should come this week. And yeah, I'm looking forward to sort of getting that set up and trying a new genre for the first time in a long, long time.
Cool.
Exciting.
It is. What's in your box, Justin?
Let me put me up here. Okay. I don't know how this is going to work. I'm not even really going to unbox this, but I'm just interested for you guys to... Well, you guys are hopefully interested to see what it's like to be me.
I think I've already seen this box.
You have. It's been here unopened for 2 weeks. you brought it inside.
Yeah. I am about 2 weeks ago, Greg. Justin and Yelena are away. And I rang him and I was like, I'll wait for him to introduce it. But I was like, is this supposed to be like on your front?
Oh, is it just sitting there like that?
It was just sitting out the front of his house on its side. And I was like, oh, maybe Justin's just, yeah. I was like, maybe he's already opened it and just thrown it out the front as he's walked out the door. And he's like, no, that's just been delivered apparently. So I
put it inside. That's terrible service.
Yeah, it was literally on its side, not even like near the doorway. It's just in the middle of his front patio.
Like inside of the street?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we all know Bendigo's a rough place.
Yeah. Les has got the right comment.
What was Les's comment?
Now that's a box.
That's right. I don't think I can actually unbox this, and I don't know if it's a good idea to do it, but it's my new printer.
It does have a picture on the front. That's probably why the guy dropped it on your patio.
Yeah. I don't think this is a good idea.
No. Yeah, no, leave it. Leave it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got 16 minutes of podcast left.
Yeah, I know. We've got to get through some images. Yeah, we're not going to get time to look at your website, Jim.
No, it's okay.
This is riveting television. Riveting viewing.
But anyway, if you get anything delivered, don't let it be that guy that delivered it.
Yeah. Nice. All right. So we've all had parcels this week.
I'm excited to do some printing when I get back from New Zealand of the photos.
Yeah,
you'll have stuff to print.
Yeah, you'll have. That's right. That'll be exciting for sure.
We can have a print party.
Yeah. Mm. Yep.
All right.
Do an old school slide night.
Do you have the images ready?
I do.
Cool.
All right, let's look at some images.
Your images, the photos that you guys have sent in to us, because you're great. Where are they? Image reviews. We've got them in.
Just while Justin's piss farting around, that's an Australian saying. Just to remind everyone at home that this is the Camera Life podcast, the Random Photography Show, proudly brought to you by Lucky Straps. Head to luckystraps.com. If you're looking for a premium, everlasting leather camera strap, then head to Lucky Straps. We make the best leather camera straps on the planet.
We do.
Unequivocally.
We do.
And they're handmade in Bendigo, Victoria.
They sure are.
Check them out. There's a whole bunch. And shipped to you from anywhere in the world. There's a whole bunch of them. And different sizes, wrist straps, straps for bigger kits, straps for smaller kits. But we also sell merch, belts, and Velaric gloves for winter.
Also, Greg, if you want to do your own unboxing, all the camera straps come in a box.
They do. So you can just like us.
Yeah.
Craig Carrick says they're handmade by virgins.
Well, I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah, Jim makes all of our straps.
Yeah. Pretty sure he's got a daughter, but you know.
I don't know. I don't know how it happened. All right. Let me bring this up. Let's get some images happening. The first one is by the one and only, but also, oh, hang on. Why is that not working? It's going to glitch.
You've got 13 minutes.
Hang on. It's not liking it. Sometimes StreamYard just won't share Lightroom. I don't know why it does it. It's very frustrating. Mm. Let me just quickly.
Great. Grant wants you to make sure the segment bar changes. Okay. And the music. You got to do. What are we going to do while you're away for music?
I've got it sorted. Do you?
Because yeah, the media assets.
Yeah, but I haven't put them in there yet.
Oh well.
I really need to do that before I go away. Okay. I'm still trying to make this stream the screen. It's been
Paul,
weird.
Paul said it's a great little flash, Greg. I have it for my Olympus. Thanks, Paul. And I went for the small one. They do much bigger flashes, Godox for Fujifilm, but I like to keep my kit minimal and small, so I'm not lugging around too much weight because it's not good for my neck. I'm really happy with it. I haven't used it yet, but you know, I have used Godox flashes before, but I'm looking forward to getting out with it and learning everything there is to learn about macro photography. You ever shot macro, Jim?
I did a little bit in uni, yeah. And then a little bit. I had a macro lens I used for weddings, and I used it for one shot a day. Yeah. And then I sold it.
For the rings.
Like, this is stupid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Waste 15 minutes trying to get a photo of a ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got rid of that because I stopped using it. So I just have some lens at relatively close focus.
Yeah.
Not macro, but they'll do good enough.
Yeah. Close enough to get a lens, a ring that looks cool with some flowers or a shoe or whatever with a big context and it looks good. It's,
not just a rock.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, right. this 30mm Fuji lens, the minimum focus distance is 10 centimeters. So that's from that mark there where my finger is to here is actually like 9.5 centimeters. So when I'm shooting with this, I'm almost touching the front element with whatever it is I'm photographing. If I want to go like full detail right in.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Very happy with it.
I don't know what's happening. You guys are going to have to hold the fort down for a second. I can fix this, but I think I have to go out and back in again.
All right. See you later.
Dennis Smith, bloody turning my phone on after the fourth flight today and new eggs pop up. Enjoy NZ, mate. My homeland. Have some hokey pokey for me. And some LMP, I reckon, too.
What's that?
LMP? Yeah. The greatest soft drink ever created.
Wait, what flavor is it?
I don't remember, Greg. It's LMP flavor. It's a special flavor.
What's LMP flavor? I don't know what LMP is. It's a New Zealand brand.
Yeah.
All right.
Lemon and Peiroa.
Ah.
It's often shortened to LMP. Is a sweet lemon flavored soft drink manufactured in New Zealand.
Oh, there you go.
Have some LMP, popular. Justin.
Mm. It's popular over there.
That's good.
I had to go back out, go back in again, but we are here.
All right.
Cool.
Whose is this one? Is this X's?
I was going to say, if you can guess, that'd be bonus. X's
shot of Tasmania?
No.
I have no idea.
Was sent in, most of these were sent in a couple of weeks ago. And I don't think. Let me just check.
Is it one of Greg Carrick's?
I don't think we've had any more.
Max is asking.
If I miss yours, I'm sorry. No, it is the one and only Bruce Moyle, who isn't here with us tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. So, great photo, Bruce.
Bruce is in New Zealand at the moment. He flew out on Sunday. Or Saturday. One of the two.
I had a Ferg burger, Lisa, when I was very, very drunk.
A lot of people in the, Grant said Ferg burger, not bad, in Queenstown. I don't know. I didn't rate it that much, but it was a long time ago when I was there.
When I got it, I needed it, or I might have not made it through the night. It was like, it was everything I wanted. I think I only ate half of it.
Everything you needed, sounds
Everything I needed. Yeah, Gemma and Wombat took me there. So friends, I went to Queenstown with my friend Wombat and at a place called Rhino's Ski Shack. We went in and he saw a woman that he fell in love with, and then we spent 2 or 3 days chasing her around Queenstown. And well, then
that's not creepy.
No, she, you know, she knew.
Yeah.
wasn't, you know, what it sounded like. And then, yeah, they hit it off and then they were drinking a lot and I could not keep up with them at all. So every night that we would go out and then at like 10, they would tuck me back into bed at the hotel room with a Ferg burger and then they would go out until like 2 a.m. It was crazy. Then we'd do it again the next day. Okay, so it was Bruce Moyle. Very nice. David Leperati.
Wow. That's lovely.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Oh, now he had some notes on this. I need to find it. This photo's nuts. Like,
it looks cool.
Yeah. Where's his notes? I need to see. A new tab. Oh, Grant sent some in too. And Exy. Perfect. I can always do this stuff at the same time as podcasting. I'll just go. But thank you. Actually, I forgot about yours, Grant. I wanted to make sure we brought yours up too, so that's good.
Have we got Grant's shot of the city?
Yeah, I think that's what it'll be. Right.
Yeah.
Cool shot.
That's a wicked shot.
Okay. So there's notes with this one you were saying.
Oh, no, that's not it. Dang it, this is some more. Damn. David Leperati's got some...
Once again, a very professional podcast.
Yeah, very professional. But, you know, it's towards the end, so it's fine. The FA-18 over Sydney was shot in 1987 using a Mamiya 645 80mm lens on Kodak Vericolor film.
Wow.
Yes.
That's cool. Phenomenal. How did you get the shot? What was he in?
A drone.
Drone. Mamiya drone.
What?
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
He had me for a second there, Jim.
From another plane.
I assume it was
from another plane. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm wondering. Like, what is he in to be able to get that shot? I know it's a, what do you say, 80mm lens?
Yeah.
So well, they're not that far away from it.
Often when the air show's on, they send up another plane with like, you know, the ones that open the back.
And they, and
the photographers get to shoot out of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Leper chats.
Someone I meant.
Rodney Nicholson. A plane?
Fuck you all.
He was in a hot air balloon.
I don't know. I was curious. I was wondering if it was like what Jim said. Next photo.
Oh dear. Okay, he's in the chat. Thank God. David Leperati says he's flying in the back of an F-18. That is cool as shit.
What a cool story.
Wow. At any moment did you contemplate pulling the ejector seat handle?
It's like when you stand at the edge of a train platform and you get that tingly feeling that this is bad. It's like that.
When you see those handles and you're like, I could pull those. They're just right there, just there. Yeah,
they're black and white. Black and yellow. They're really bright. I want to touch them.
That's an intrusive thought.
Yeah. Like, gotta block it out.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal shot.
Mm.
So David did also send through, and I can't remember if he talked this about it. He sent through some other shots which I haven't got loaded into Lightroom at the moment. In regards to Paul's images in episode 100, where he was struggling with the 100 to 500 due to maybe too slow a shutter speeds and possible heat haze. And he sent through some examples here. and showing how sometimes image stabilization can interfere with focus while panning. And sometimes he turns off image stabilization when there's focusing issues to see if that's what's causing the issue, especially if the aircraft's coming at you, I think.
Mm.
So, and there's a few good examples in here. Maybe we'll bring them up in a future show.
Yeah.
When I've got time to load them in. Oh,
David said no, the injection was controlled by the pilot.
Dang.
Which makes sense.
Makes sense. all right. This means I've got Grant's images. Grant's email has been reported as possible phishing message. So that's always good.
That's probably from all his YouTube accounts. All his burner accounts.
Yeah, exactly. And hang on, I'll bring up a new one for you guys to look at while I do some other stuff. Let's go to Lucinda. Lucinda Goodwin.
Cool.
What do you guys think? Shot on film or digital?
Film.
She does both.
I reckon it's film.
Like a 35mm lens? Film? I don't know. We're also looking through a screen recording of a screen, so...
It's easy to tell. Yeah,
Jim's right. It's a fairly natural field of view.
Let me see if I can make it bigger for you guys.
Yeah, I reckon it's film.
Mm,
XC says it looks like Portra.
Well, based on the metadata, it was shot on the Canon R5 Mark II.
Hmm.
There you go.
There you go.
So, is that a hydro version or not a hydro version?
Hydro version.
One that can go in water.
No, they can all go in water, Jim. It's just whether or not they keep working.
Pool party verified.
And another one from Lucinda is this one, which looks like live performance.
It does. Theater stuff. Theater.
Mm. Theater. Cool.
That was very posh. Theater. Theater.
That one was on the R5.
That's the South Yarra. In your
it is Greg. The South Yarra. We say South Yarra.
Do you?
Yeah, why not?
So you guys would be able to afford the consonants and the vowels.
No, we just, we just disregard them as we please.
And now for what a bit that? Of a collection, a bit of a collection from Nathan CCP, who I don't think I've seen in the chat this week. But I'll just go through. We'll get a bit of a vibe.
That's cool. I really like that.
Yeah, I like it too. I don't know why.
It calls to... Oh, yeah, it's just an interesting take, isn't it?
He's definitely got a feel.
Yeah. I remember when we interviewed Nathan, he talked about how he just loves to just walk. He'll just walk through country towns and, you know, find the sorts of scenes.
This is very Aussie beach.
Yeah, Aussie beach shack for sure.
Everyone's run down and...
Oh, that's, I love that.
I think out of that was the one that was most compelling when he sent them through. I was like, I don't know why this is compelling, but it is.
I really like that his work is void of people. Like there's all this sort of abandoned space.
Yeah. Mm.
And I think that really speaks to me a lot.
Like that. No people.
That's cool.
Are these no guesses people. At the location? Ruralbark? Tyab?
Must be.
I don't know where Tyab is, Les. And I've got no metadata, so I can't tell you. I do have metadata, but I don't have any location data. All right. Great work, Nathan CCP.
Mm.
And now, before I download the other ones, hang on. These are portraits from David Mascaro over in San Francisco, shot on film with his amazing Nikon kit of film cameras.
Wow, that's really cool.
Mm.
The eyes are just staring straight into you.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sure it's even better on your...
Yeah.
On your screen. That's cool.
These are great.
They are great.
They're really good. And there's a real timelessness to them. Like there's a real, you could, this could have been shot 30 years ago or it could have been shot today.
I'll read out the email he sent because he'll be asleep right now. And he said, "Hi guys, I probably won't be awake when you get around to showing everyone's photos, but I just wanted to mention that because we were talking about street photography and the difference between engaging with your subjects for kind of street portraits versus capturing natural street moments and those lines can get blurred and all that kind of stuff." And he said, "I want to mention I engage a lot with people, I photograph and tell their stories, if not too personal and with permission. In honor of my dad, a Korean and Vietnam veteran, and also my brother, a Vietnam veteran, both gone now, I photograph as many veterans as I can and share their stories. They usually don't mind talking about war experiences after I've shared why I do this project. I also do more traditional street scene stuff, nothing that will knock your socks off, but I just enjoy carrying one of those classic Nikons and documenting life on the streets. Thanks, guys. I really enjoy your show. Sent from iPhone." Great images. Yeah. I really like him. Yeah. He's a master. I'd love to see more of his stuff.
Yeah.
All right, now I've got to try and get Grant on here somehow.
Greg Carrick has finished his blue show and he says, "Pull your fingers out."
Yeah, we're slightly behind. The radio runs on schedule, doesn't it?
We just wanted you to be able to enjoy it, Greg.
Right.
Make it a bit longer. Grant says, "Doing street photography like this would be so daunting."
Talking to people. Yeah,
can be.
Yeah, it's not, I don't know. I don't think it'd be as bad as you think, Grant. If you, like, you've got your camera, a bit more confidence with a camera in your hand.
Yeah.
You just got to start. Start with one person. They'll say no. Yeah. You'll get there.
I find it hard too, Grant. I've done a lot of street photography over the years. I'm one of those people that prefer not to ask permission because it changes the scene and the emotion of it. But some of the experiences I've had where I've actually asked permission to do portraits like this is I've just sat down on like the steps at Flinders Street Station in Melbourne, and there'd be a guy sitting there and I'd just sit down. I'd just say, "Do you mind if I sit down next to you?" And I'll sit on the steps and we'll just start chatting. And he'll ask about the camera in my hand and I'll say what I do and I'll ask what he's up to. And then it kind of just evolves. But it certainly takes practice.
It's time too. You got to put the time in,
Yeah. You got to invest, yeah.
Yeah, sitting down and saying, "Okay, I'm going to invest 10 minutes of just chatting before trying to take a photo."
Yeah. But that might be a worthwhile investment because you then get to capture a unique portrait of someone in the street and but it is tricky. So this is Grant's shot of Melbourne from late last week.
Yeah. He snuck down on a little photo expedition.
Yeah.
Because he does have a new young little baby and another child to look after, but he snuck away on the train to Melbourne to get an evening of photography in, and I think this was his favorite photo of the day from what I can tell.
I
really like it.
Yeah. Mm.
It's almost got a, I don't know what the color, why the light and the color on the bridge and the buildings look so, it looks very natural, but it also looks
a little bit
surreal, but it's not
unnaturally, like the sky's not overhyped.
And that's the thing. It also doesn't have, if this had some like roaring sunset behind it or something, that would take away from the bridge and stuff leading through the, I don't know. It's a simple, plain day, but captured, I don't know.
And I think he's probably picked one of the best spots in Melbourne. So outside Hamer Hall, looking back across, north towards the city. It's a nice compressed view of the city. It's not, I know there's a lot more buildings to the left and you've got the MCG to the right, but this particular cluster of buildings, it just because it builds a nice peak towards the middle as well, it's really appealing. Yeah. It brings your eye into it.
Yeah.
And that sort of peak of building like, you know, the cityscape then brings the sky into it, and the sky's got such a soft and calming feel to it, doesn't it?
Mm. It's just blurry. But...
Mm.
Yeah.
But not, Grant, not overly. Yeah.
And not distractingly so.
Grant says 10-stop Nissi just pulls the colours out. So go buy some Nissi filters.
There you go.
Grant, I can't tell because you stripped your metadata off your file. Do you have any idea how long the exposure was or what your settings were? Oh, here we go. 20-second exposure. Seconds.
Yeah.
That's long.
What's the on the bottom right-hand side of the bridge? Is that blurry there?
No. I think that's just the light on the water. It's the reflection of the light.
Are you talking
over.
Here?
Or oh, like, that's where? Sorry. It looked like another pillar. That white bit when you were zoomed out looked like a pillar.
Ah, no, no.
And it looked blurry, and I was like,
the bridge is like sharp as attack.
No, yes, it literally just looked like a blurry pillar for some reason. Like there was an extra pillar, and I was like, what's that? But yeah, it makes sense. That's a reflection.
Yeah. What lens was that with, Grant?
Why'd you strip your metadata out, Grant?
Yeah, what are you hiding?
What are you hiding from?
He didn't,
photography secrets.
It
wasn't the photo, was it?
That's AI.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dang. Need some chicken.
He just went. He didn't go to Melbourne. He just went to the pub.
ChatGPT
and then made some AI photos. I'm back, Eilish. I had a great time. Yeah. Oh yeah, he borrowed my 15 to 35 2.8, which is an exceptional lens, and Grant's going to buy it.
Nice.
Greg Carrick says AI.
It's a cracker of a shot, mate. Really is.
Yeah. Very nice.
All right, couple of images from Exi.
These are film?
I'm going to guess so. There's no.
Is this one of the Lomography films I gave you, Exi? That looks like that Lomography with the purple tinge to it. Well, I don't know if he's still there.
We can get in close. Big scans. Yeah. So interesting.
Mm. Cool. Nice light.
Yeah.
Very subtle.
Yeah, that light is very nice, very interesting.
Yeah, good exposure, Exi. Really good.
That sort of second bit of light coming down the right-hand side of the face too.
Exi said, yeah, it is that purple. So I gave Exi a whole bag of film I had sitting in the fridge because he's a poor, struggling student.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the Lomography ones with the purple tinge to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, wow.
Oh, wow, it's almost like infrared, isn't it? Those colours.
Cool.
That's really cool.
Nice moment.
Yeah, great shots.
And everything, yeah.
Yeah.
That was shot on 120.
Mm. Nice.
There is just something about film. I don't know what it is, but... Yeah, great.
We're all chasing more data, clearer images, and film just feels different.
Mm.
The other thing is too, like, I love the look of that, and I would never process a photo like that, a digital photo.
Mm.
I would never edit like that.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, I don't know.
It's very unique, isn't it? It's very unique to the film stock. Mm. You know, it's like that whole thing of, you know, we can download any piece of music we want now, but I still buy vinyls because, you know, I'm a hipster. But, you know, it just feels like a different, more authentic sound.
Mm.
And I guess that's what shooting film versus digital is like for some people, that it feels
it feels different.
It feels different. It feels more authentic. It feels, you know, what you see is mostly what you get. There's not a lot of bandwidth to change what you've shot in post. You can, of course, but another great shot.
Well, that's probably everything, unless we want to look at Jim's website quickly, but we are already over my targeted time for this evening.
Oh yeah,
we are. But let's leave Jim's website for next week when Jim and I are hosting the show without you, Justin. Oh,
but I like.
You want to roast it?
You can't have it both. You can't have it all your way.
I should be able to get on maybe next week. We'll probably be in Christchurch still, so I might have internet and I can pop on for that segment at least. So something we'd like to do. Jim's building a new website. He's rebranding his wedding business to better match his future without me. He's rebranding it from Justin and Jim Photographers to just Jim.
I'm so proud of you, Jim. Finally stepping out on your own.
Yeah. Well, kind of.
I think you're ready for it, Jim. I think you're ready for
it. We're going to rebrand Justin and Jim too. So I've got two websites to build.
It's a rebrand. Yeah. And so basically I'm thinking that this could be a good kickoff for a new segment that we bring on the show sometimes when one of you guys are ready for it, is give us your website and what you're trying to do with your photography, whether you're trying to get clients for some particular genre or you're just trying to whatever, what your goal is. And we will absolutely
constructively
tear it to pieces.
Tear it apart. Yeah. It is not going to be like the Your Images section where we nicely look at everything. The purpose of this segment would be to tell you everything that's wrong with your website so you can quickly fix it and hopefully get more clients and book more shoots or whatever it is that you're trying to achieve.
Because
it is something that we all each have some skills. I'm not saying we're experts in it, but we can help.
Yeah.
And sometimes just having a fresh set of eyes to look at it is all you need, even if it's not an expert. So
The chat as well will be helpful.
The chat will help.
Yeah. And because there's plenty of you out there that love your craft and you know, have been thinking about building a website or at least a place to park some of your images so you can share them with people, even if it's not for client purposes. I would always recommend anyone build it, even if you grab a WordPress site just to host a few galleries of your own. Start somewhere. Because it's a really great way to control how your images are displayed. You know, social media, you've got ads, people flick through it fast. When you've got your own website going, you're in complete control over what people see and how they experience those images. So we're going to cover that in some future episodes.
Yeah.
And, see how that lands.
And other than that, I'm off to New Zealand and you guys are all so nice. Look at it. Hang on, I got to play some music while I talk about this. Look at all this stuff. Look at this. Greg Carrick says, don't stand on a kiwi. A person or the bird? Philip Johnson says, great show, guys. Have fun. Travel safe, Justin. I think I added in the have fun myself. Lisa Leach says, thanks, guys. Have a fabulous trip, Justin and Elena. Les Oakley says, looking forward to the New Zealand trip review. We will be doing that. Rodney Nicholson.
Thinking about goggles.
Wonderful trip, yeah. Grant says, let me guess, next episode is sponsored by Squarespace. Well, maybe.
Well, no, Squarespace. If they want to throw some money our way.
Not Adobe Portfolio. Definitely not Squarespace. And Rick Nelson says, have fun. Thanks for the show. Thanks, everybody. It was
fun.
Thank
you.
Yeah, it's been good.
It was indeed.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, guys, we'll see you on Thursday, 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. And, we'll catch up with you then. Greg Carrick's going to co-host with Jim and I, and we're going to interview David Cassini. So stay tuned for that one.
On Thursday. Cool.
Mm.
Look forward to it.
And otherwise, just dig into the back catalogue and enjoy, and Greg will take care of things for the next few weeks.
We'll be fine.
We'll see you.
What could go wrong?
Yeah.
See you, Les. See you, Ian. See you, Paul. Yes, Anthony, I will take the 20 mil. Yep, I'm taking it. And I'll see you all soon.
Do you reckon we'll run on time and finish on time?
Hey, we'll see what happens with that media. See what happens. You guys won't even have graphics or music. Anyway, this song's just looping.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
See ya.